Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there as well, riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work, or even maybe some kiddos out there get from home to school. Appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all the early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all the early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers as well. All my early morning, late night transportation workers, 728 local transportation workers in the film industry as well. And, of course, all my people sitting in the bed, sleeping in the bed right now or listening in the bed right now as well. Okay, lot to get into this morning. The coordinators, assistant coaches from the Atlanta Falcons spoke to the media yesterday. We're going to let you hear from the likes of Zach Robinson and Jerry Gray here in just a couple of minutes. The Braves, not so great day yesterday on the diamond. We'll get into that in about 17 minutes. And we also will give you an NBA Finals preview and some NFL headlines as well. Because one player in particular says, look, we ain't trying to play 18 games, point blank, period. And don't be surprised when there's some pushback from the players. So we'll get into that in about 37 minutes from now. But let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. As I told you, coordinators and assistant coaches spoke to the media yesterday. And, of course, one of the guys that spoke to the media yesterday was Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, and he had some interesting things to say that I think you might want to hear. And guess what? The Hometown Take is going to let you hear what Zach Robinson had to say. The first thing I want to get into that he talked about yesterday was this new offense the Atlanta Falcons are learning, the players are learning, and Zach Robinson talked about what it's like for players like Drake London and Bijan Robinson and guys like that to learn a new offense, what it's like for these guys to come in and learn a new scheme. So I think what he said about that was very interesting, and I want to let you hear what he had to say about that. So, look, because look, at the end of the day, I hope that the Falcons get off to a hot start, and I hope that the Falcons don't really show any signs of trying to adjust and learn a new offense. And, you know, I think some of that will come with how much they play in the preseason, which I think that maybe how much the Falcons starters play in the preseason could be unique to what maybe we see other teams do. I think maybe the Falcons get a little bit more, the starters at least get a little bit more playing time to begin the season just because of new quarterback, new offense, some new players as well. Darnell Mooney trying to get in the fold. Rondell Moore, Ray McLeod trying to get in the fold. So I think we could see the Falcons starters maybe get a little bit more playing time here in the preseason. Maybe not. We will see. But here is Zach Robinson talking about what it is like for players, again, like Drake London and company, to learn a new offensive scheme.
Yeah, it's, you know, you hear it's like learning a foreign language. I mean, it really is in some instances. We've had, you know, like you look at like a Darnell Mooney and Charlie Warner, some of these guys that have come in that are, you know, have already had banked years in the NFL. And so those guys are able to make more sense of it. Drake's still a pretty young player. And there's, you know, there's a few things that maybe was called the same, but for the most part, it's entirely new. And, you know, the one thing that always is going to show up is, you know, guys got to, they can hear it from us and we can talk about it in the film room all we want, but those guys got to go out there and do it and actually line up themselves and see what the motion feels like and see what the landmark feels like on this specific route. So the more that those guys can get out there and just do it is better than me sitting up there with the clicker saying exactly how it should be done. And that's always going to be the case with football and really with any athlete out there. You got to go get those physical reps. But in terms of the terminology, we've thrown a lot at these guys and they've digested it really well. They're playing really fast, and so that's been really encouraging.
Yeah, and just like I was saying, Zach Robinson has the same sentiment. He can sit up there and have his clicker going and point at a board all day long, but these guys have to go out there and do it, and that's exactly what Zach Robinson was saying there. But to his point as well, what he said at the end of that, seems like guys are learning the offense fast. They're out there, they're flying around, moving fast, and that is encouraging. But at the end of the day, like Zach Robinson said, they're going to need to go out there and do it, and that's why I wonder if when it's time to go get live reps, and obviously they'll get some good reps in when they do joint practices, but during the preseason, I do wonder if we maybe see a little bit more of the Falcons starters than maybe we would if this was, you know, Zach Robinson's third year here and the offense was established and this was Kirk Cousins' third year here and everybody knew the play calls and all that stuff. But and then I do also find it interesting the point he made about Drake London, you know, him being a younger player and maybe he's heard some of the terminology before, but a lot of it probably going to be a foreign language to him, whereas a older, savvier vet like a Darnell Mooney or somebody like that, they would have pretty much heard all the terminology that there is to hear in the NFL by now, and it'll be easier for him to learn. I thought that was really interesting, too. So, look, at the end of the day, they're going to have it ready. They're going to make sure they are as ready as possible for week one when they get ready to take on – who are we playing week one? Why can't I remember who we're playing the week one? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you, Day-Day. In Atlanta, by the way, right here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Couldn't remember. But – look, I did think that was very interesting stuff there from Zach Robinson, and hopefully, again, we see that there's no really adjustment, and hopefully there's not a lot of adjustment period when the regular season comes around when you talk about learning the offense and, you know, making sure guys know where to be and all that stuff. So hopefully there's no super crazy adjustment period there. Another thing that I want you to hear from Zach Robinson is we heard Bijan Robinson talk about how he's going to be used like a Christian McCaffrey. Well, Zach Robinson also doubled down on what Bijan had to say. And he says, yep, Christian McCaffrey, that's the plan.
You know, Bijan's such a talented player. You know, he's going to play running back first and foremost. And then any way we can find creative ways to get him the ball like the Niners do with Christian McCaffrey is exactly right. So continuing to tailor and tweak things and find creative ways to get him the football, not just, you know, in the dot or in the offset gun running the football, but using his receiver skills without overloading him too much. So I think that's always going to be the balance of it is, you know, hey, you're playing running back, but here's some of the specific nuance that we can get you involved in the pass game.
So there you have it. I mean, they're going to use him running back first and foremost, which I think is great. They are going to do some things with Bijan, of course, in the passing game because he does have that dynamic skill set to where he can and will be effective catching passes out of the backfield, lining up at receiver. But Zach Robinson made a very good point there, and I think this might have happened a little bit last year. And not that Arthur Smith wanted to overload Bijan Robinson, and it's not that he wanted to put too much on his plate, but I think there were times where it looked like that indeed happened, where Bijan maybe got a little bit too much thrown at him, and they were trying to do too much with Bijan early on. And there were times where he looked a little overwhelmed, maybe looked a little bit lost, and then when things maybe got dialed back towards the end of the year, that's when we saw Bijan Robinson really start to come on and really start to be effective and start to get in the end zone as well. So I think it's encouraging and good to hear that Zach Robinson realizes, look, we're not going to overload this guy. He's a running back first and foremost, and that's how we're going to treat him. But we still are going to utilize his skill set that he has, and we're still going to make sure that we get the most out of him and still have him catching passes out of the backfield, still have him line up at receiver and be effective in those ways as well, but they're not going to overload him at the same time, so they're going to make sure they have a good balance. So that is really encouraging to hear, and like I said, you heard him double down about Christian McCaffrey. Look, ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what Bijan looks like in this offense, Drake London, Kirk Cousins. I think this offense definitely is going to be special and definitely is going to be fun to watch. And anytime you hear a coach say, yeah, that's right. We're gonna use him like Christian McCaffrey. I mean, how could you not be excited about that right there? So that's a little bit of what we can expect maybe from the offense. Now let's switch sides and turn things over to the defense as we're here on the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews, letting you hear what some of the Falcons coaches and coordinators had to say yesterday as they had some media availability after practice. So you just heard from Zach Robinson. Jerry Gray, let's hear from him a little bit because he talked about this defense and he talked about the importance of having a pass rush. And he said straight up, the pass rush doesn't play well, it's going to be hard for the secondary to play well as well.
We call it disruption. Yeah. How can you disrupt the quarterback? And if you could disrupt the quarterback and get him off the timing, throw the ball when he don't supposed to, get him off the spot and do those things, that help everybody else on our defense. But if he can sit back there and pack the ball, pack the ball, pack the ball, it doesn't matter who you have rushing, you're going to be in trouble in the back end.
Plain and simple. Short, sweet, and to the point. He used disruption, which is exactly right. Because at the end of the day, it's not even really – you want to get sacks. Let me be clear about that. You definitely want to put the quarterback on the ground. You want to get sacks. But you at the very least, as a football team, have to get disruption. You at the very least, as a defense, as a defensive line, as a pass rush, have to get disruption. You have to disrupt the quarterback, make him feel uncomfortable, make him move his feet, make him move around. Don't let him, as Jerry Gray said, sit there and pat the ball, pat the ball, pat the ball, and just let him read and dissect the defense all afternoon long. You have to have disruption. And if you at least get disruption, then maybe the quarterback, even if you don't get him on the ground, makes some errant throws, you get some interceptions, some incomplete passes, and you can work with that. But if you're not getting any sort of pass rush, if you're not getting any sort of disruption, as Jerry Gray said, then their secondary that's going to have to cover all day long, they're not going to be good. Even the best of the best corners. He ain't covering for 7 seconds out there. The wide receiver's going to get open eventually. So Jerry Gray made a great point, and I'm glad that the disruption and this pass rush has and is being emphasized so hard because, again, we've been waiting on it for, what, decade plus now since Jonathan Abraham to have something consistent here for, you know, as far as the pass rush goes. Again, we had Vic Beasley for that 1 year. That was great. But we need something consistent, and we need guys who are going to be consistently good pass rushers year in, year out for the Falcons, and hopefully guys like Braylon Trice, Arnold Ebiketie are going to be guys like that. So good to hear Jerry Gray emphasize that the pass rush and the disruption of the quarterback needs to be first and foremost, and it is being prioritized because without that, secondary, not going to matter all too much. So that was good to hear. All right, when we come back 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, oh, the Braves. You think they maybe are starting to turn a corner, and then they have a bad day yesterday. Maybe it's because of the day game. Who knows? But Braves, not with the great outcome yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll give you a little NBA Finals preview as well. Game one is tonight. Looking forward to it. Celtics, Mavs. We'll talk about that. But the Braves, coming up next, not a good day for the Bravos. But we'll see if they can bounce back tonight against the Nationals. We'll talk about it all next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Real quick, one of my coworkers is a Sandy Creek alum, Dylan Matthews. He's the producer of The Morning Shift, and he also hosts The Hometown Take. He is a huge, huge Drake fan. So I got to ask you, Dalen, who won the rap battle between Kendrick and Drake, in your opinion?
Oh, man, I think I like Kendrick. I love Drake, and I'm a big Drake fan, but I think Kendrick had Drake in this one.
Not true. It's just inaccurate. Look, shout out to my Sandy Creek guy. Shout out to Dede for coming back and playing that for me. He told me it was coming yesterday. I was ready for it. But, you know, it's just inaccurate. It's just not true. And, look, I know, you know, Daddy, you about to get me started, bro. I'm just about to go ahead and go there. Everybody says that Kendrick won the beef. Well, can someone please explain to me how Kendrick possibly could have won the beef when, one, nobody has negated the fact and nobody has brought up the fact and nobody from Kendrick's camp and nobody has explained to me how you can win a rap beef when you run with false information, and he never addressed the fact that he ran with false information, and The rumors are, and none of this ever got debunked or anything, so I'm taking it to be true, because it seems like it's true, all the puzzle pieces fit together, that he ran with some false information that Drake baited him with, and then he ran with it, made a whole song about it, rapped about it for 2 whole minutes, but he won the beef. Okay. Last time I checked, when you come with false information that your opponent gave to you, that seems like that's pretty much grounds to lose the beef. But you know, okay. But Drake lost. All right, but Drake lost. And then the other thing, Kendrick had some pretty harsh allegations on Drake. And last time I checked, all the women that were supposedly victims of Drake came out and said, nah, it wasn't like that. Nah, he's really cool. Nah, it was never that way. Nah, he's always been supportive. Nah, it's not like that. Drake's not like that. But he lost the beef. Oh, okay, okay. All right, he lost the beef, though. All right. Sure he did. Just because he made one little bop and everybody's saying, they're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us. Don't get me wrong. It's a good song. It's a bop for sure. It's a bop for sure. But just because Kendrick made himself a little bop, which Drake makes all the time, everybody wants to say, oh, no, Drake lost. Just because everybody's bobbing their head that they're not like us, Drake lost the beef. Okay. Do me a favor. Go listen to Family Matters and tell me that's not the best diss track out of this whole beef. Okay? Somebody go do that. Drake made the best songs out of this whole beef. Push-Ups, very good song. Do y'all forget everybody was bopping their head to Push-Ups when it first came out? Let's not forget Family Matters. Now, I'll give Kendrick credit. Even though I'm very much a Drake fan, I will give credit where credit is due. Not Like Us is a bop. You can't debate that. It is a great song. You can't debate that. And Kendrick also had a great strategy by not letting Family Matters breathe and dropping right after it. Because guess what? If he would have let Family Matters breathe, I guarantee you the consensus would be a little bit different. So that's all I'm saying. You know, nobody wants to talk about facts. Everybody just wants to bop their head and nod their head that they're not like us. But nobody's talking about the fact anymore that Kendrick got baited with false information from Drake and he ran with it. Said he had a whole daughter. Drake doesn't have a daughter. Nobody's talking about that anymore. Everybody wants to bop their head that they're not like us, but nobody's talking about the fact that the allegations Kendrick put on Drake turned out not to be true. Drake's alleged victim said as much, but everybody can just continue to bop their head that they're not like us. And also, Kendrick, he never said anything about the allegations Drake put on him. I'm just saying that. Just going to put that out there. So, I'll digress. But you know, hey, nothing wrong with getting worked up on a Thursday. It's all right, though. I appreciate it, Day-Day. I appreciate it, brother. It's all right. Hey, love my Sandy Creek alum, but the brother's wrong. Drake won. I'm standing 10 toes down on it. But all right, it is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber, Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers, dentists, dental assistants, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice and clean. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers, early morning, late night UPS workers, airport workers, front and rear load truck drivers, local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, and, of course, all my people sleeping in the bed right now as well. One thing we can't debate, we could debate Kendrick and Drake all day long, but one thing we can't debate the Braves did not look good yesterday. That is up for no debate because they did not look good whatsoever. They lose to the Red Sox in a getaway day yesterday, 9-0. The Braves only are able to muster up one hit, just one, an Austin Riley single in the fourth inning. That's all the Braves could get yesterday, and Nick Pivetta had his way with the Braves yesterday. He goes out and he pitches seven innings, only gives up the one hit, no runs, only two walks, nine strikeouts. Nick Pivetta had a very strong inning yesterday. The Red Sox bullpen was very good as well. Spencer Schwellenbach, can't say the same for him. He struggled in his second major league debut. 4 2/3 innings, seven hits, six runs, all of them earned, two walks, four strikeouts. Did give up a home run as well. And Braves bullpen, not very good either. Ray Kerr goes 2 1/3 innings, gives up four hits, two runs, both of them earned. He gave up a home run as well, one walk, two strikeouts. And then Jimmy Herget playing a cleanup duty. He came in, pitched an inning. He gave up a home run, too. Two hits, a run. That was the home run and two strikeouts. So just a blah day from the Braves overall. Just not very good. And look, even though we are very frustrated about the Braves and their offense, I think this is just one of those games where you kind of flush and you kind of just get out of your system. You get out of your mind. You don't even think about it. And that is one of the good things about the game of baseball. It's the fact that you get to rebound and go play the next day, as the Braves are going to be back at it tonight against the Washington Nationals, starting a four-game set with the Nats in D.C. So that will be the good thing. At least they'll be able to flush it quickly and move on quickly as they have another game tonight and another series starting tonight. But, yeah, I mean, just ew, just nasty. I don't even know what to say about that game, because it was just so much wrong, and it could have been worse. The Braves actually came out kind of lucky in that game, because Jarred Kelenic looked like he might have gotten injured, looked like he might have messed up his shoulder, but he did end up saying he was fine, and he did stay in the game. So that was good news, because, look, the Braves don't need any more bad injury news. I mean, we saw just what happened to Sean Murphy getting hit in the elbow, and it's swelling up immediately. Now, he ended up saying that it looked worse than what it actually was, and I don't think he'll end up going on the IL, so it looks like he'll be okay. He did not end up playing yesterday. Obviously, Travis d'Arnaud ended up playing just to give Sean a day off. So hopefully Sean won't have to hit the IL. Doesn't look like he will, but we'll see, and we'll obviously keep you up to date on that. But, yeah, just not a great day for the Braves as far as hitting. Pitching, none of it was good yesterday. And Brian Snicker talked about Spencer Schwellenbach after the game, and he was saying he just doesn't have enough majors experience yet. And it was a second start, and look, first start usually catching people off guard, but after that first start, they got film on you, and they best believe those Boston Red Sox players were watching film, and they were ready for Spencer Schwellenbach yesterday. And Rafael Devers, he hits two home runs, drove in three runs. Jaron Duren, he hit a home run as well. And then Rob Ref Snyder, Tyler O'Neill, Dominic Smith, they all had two hits each in the game too. So they were ready to beat up on Spencer Schwellenbach. And Schwellenbach, he talked about it after the game. He talked about his outing after the game too. And he talked about saying that, you know, he felt like he did good coming back, just couldn't finish, ran out of gas a little bit. So, look, you just flush it out if you're the Braves. Move on to tonight. It's going to be Reynaldo Lopez going up against Mitchell Parker for the Nats tonight. First pitch set for 6:45, and we'll see if the Braves can bounce back and get that offense back right after getting one hit and shut out yesterday. But moving on, I do want to talk about the NBA Finals a little bit before we catch a break here. Game one tonight. Feels like we've waited forever for the NBA Finals to come around, which we kind of have. We waited, what, like a week or like 6 days, I believe it was. I think it might have been 6 days from the last NBA playoff game. But it's going to be Boston taking on the Mavericks at home. Game one, Kyrie Irving. One of the big storylines, he's returning to Boston. Obviously played with the Celtics for a few years, then dipped out of Boston. It was kind of ugly, And, you know, obviously they tormented him, and he gave them a double bird one day when he was back in Boston with the Brooklyn Nets, excuse me. So that's a storyline as well. Jason Kidd back in the finals as a coach. This is his fifth time in the finals as a player or a coach. So he's got that finals experience. Luka Doncic, his first run in the NBA finals. So I do want to give you some interesting notes here as we go through this preview quickly. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, believe it or not, 4-0 against Dallas head coach Jason Kidd. And so prior to Mazzulla's promotion to head coach right before 2022 training camp, the Mavericks had beaten the Celtics four straight times. And not only has Mazzulla never lost to the Mavs, but all of Mazzulla's wins over Dallas have come by at least 9 points. So he's got Dallas figured out some way, somehow. And look, I don't know if injuries have played a factor into that or not, and they probably have, but interesting little tidbit here. Now, let's get into some of the minutia of the game here really quickly. Boston, they have the second-best defense in the NBA this season behind only the Minnesota Timberwolves, which the Mavericks just beat. And that NBA best defense didn't do much for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, look, they did go toe-to-toe with the Mavericks, but the Mavericks ended up prevailing. So we'll see how much success, if the Celtics can be any more successful having the second-best defense in the NBA. And again, look, the game's all about matchups as well. But Boston did lead the league this year in opponent free throw attempt rate, giving up the least amount of free throws. And we know Luka, Kyrie, they like to live at the free throw line sometimes. And Boston also led the league in rim protection, but the Mavs were the best rim protection defense after the All-Star break. So with that, that brings me to my next point. There's going to be a lot of three-point shooting, a lot of isolation in this series. Because with, again, both teams being pretty good at protecting the rim, Porzingis going to be back for game one for the Celtics as well. That's going to play a factor into, you know, how much the Mavs really try to drive to the basket, get to the hole with Porzingis down there. There's going to be a lot of isolation, a lot of three-point attempts. So Boston, they led the league in makes this season with three-point attempts. It was 16.5, and Dallas, 14.6, was third behind Golden State. The Celtics were also first in three-point attempts with 42.5. The Dallas Mavericks were second in three-point attempts with 39.5. So that's what I'm saying. Going to be a lot of threes made, and this is per second spectrum. Boston made the most catch-and-shoot threes per game this season, 11.4. Dallas 20th with 9. But Dallas does have the leader in pull-up threes, and Luka Doncic made 221 of them. And Dallas was the league leader in 414 pull-up threes this season. Boston ranked second behind Dallas in pull-up threes. Jason Tatum made 145 pull-up threes to rank fourth in the league behind Doncic, Steph Curry, and the Milwaukee Bucks' Damian Lillard. So going to be a lot of threes, a lot of pull-up threes, a lot of isolation too. Want to give you this last quick tidbit. Boston, they had, where was my isolation stat? I'm looking for it for you here real quick. Boston averaged 120 points per 100 possessions. They only allowed 109.4 in 623 minutes with Porzingis on the floor. By the way, this is their defense. And then with the same lineup, except Al Horford being the lineup, Boston only outscored their opponents 118 to 115 per 100 possessions in 311 regular season minutes. So they're definitely better out there defensively with Porzingis than they are with Al Horford. No shade, just truth, Al. Sorry about that. But look, a lot of isolation, a lot of threes coming your way. And at the end of the day, both these teams going to live and die by the three. And I think it's going to come down to obviously who's going to make more of those threes and who's going to be able to get to the rim maybe a little bit more, who's going to be able to get to the free throw line, and who's not going to settle for threes as well. Who's going to be aggressive? Who's going to attack the rim? I think that's something to watch out for as well. But we'll see how game one plays out tonight. Going to be looking forward to talking about that with you all tomorrow. But when we come back here 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, let's get into some NFL headlines, because one NFLPA rep says that 18 games, too many games. We'll talk about it next year on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios with you here on a Thursday morning. Got tied up there. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. That was actually for the first responders. The hospital workers out there working around the clock to make sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all the dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice and clean and shiny. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment early this morning for all the early risers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure the people get from home to work, or maybe even some kiddos getting from home to school that aren't out yet, even though I think they're all out by now. But anywho, shout out to all my front and rear loading truck drivers up early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, some NFL headlines here for you. The first one I want to get to, Colts longtime center Ryan Kelly talking about an 18-game schedule. He is not in favor of it, and he would not be very happy about it as well. And he's saying that don't be surprised if you hear some pushback. Here is Ryan Kelly on an 18-game NFL season.
If people understood how hard it was to play 16, then they took another one, right? And it's like, they get rid of preseason games. Well, okay, well, who's that going to hurt, right? The guys that don't have a shot, the guys that are the undrafted guys or late-round guys that need to go out there and prove themselves, right? It's not, and I think that the fans see it as like they don't watch the preseason games. Well, they have no idea what goes on inside the building, right? So, 18 games sounds great when Roger's saying it on Pat McAfee podcast, but until you're the one going out there and putting the helmet on for 18 of those games. Then come talk to me.
Ooh, a little spice there from Ryan Kelly. Okay. Well, look, I definitely hear Ryan Kelly. I don't even necessarily disagree with Ryan Kelly. But what I will say is that good luck. Good luck stopping it. Because at the end of the day, just like the 17-game schedule got approved. It barely got approved, but it got approved at the end of the day. It was like 51.5% to 49%. The NFL is not going to let anybody, even the players, stop them from making more money, it seems like. I just don't see how this doesn't happen. If the NFL owners, Roger Goodell, and everybody really want this to happen, they're going to be able to make it happen. That just seems like the harsh reality of it. Now, to Ryan's point, he's absolutely right. He didn't say anything. No lies were told. No lies were detected in what Ryan Kelly just had to say there. Taking away another preseason game definitely does hurt the late-round draft picks, the undrafted free agents that are trying to make a name for themselves and make a team. And look, guys have done that. Guys have balled out in the preseason, made the team, made a little niche for themselves, balled out on special teams, then found a way to become really good NFL players. Those stories are real. And it's because of the opportunities they got in the preseason. But if they are limited in those opportunities, then that could take away from us finding some really big stars in the NFL. And now look, at the end of the day, if they're meant to make it, they'll make it, but still. And to Ryan Kelly's other point, if you knew how hard it is to play 16 games, you wouldn't make us play 18. But at the end of the day, Roger Goodell isn't playing the games. He's worried about making the NFL more money while he's the commissioner. So, again, that's just kind of the harsh reality of the situation. But I feel for Ryan Kelly there, and you can tell he is very much upset because he can – see, and he knows the reason for this is really just, at the end of the day, more money. All right, moving on here. One other NFL headline to get here for you. Cameron Sutton signing a one-year deal to return to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed a one-year deal with the Steelers. The team announced that yesterday. Sutton's deal expected to be the vet minimum. That is what league sources told ESPN. Sutton is 29. He spent the first 6 years of his career in Pittsburgh, and he was released, if you remember, by the Detroit Lions earlier this offseason after an issuance of an arrest warrant for a domestic battery charge. And that warrant was issued March 7th after police in Florida responded to a call at a house where Sutton allegedly battered a woman before fleeing the scene. He was released by the Lions on March 21st, a day after the team learned of the warrant. And although the initial warrant charged him with a felony, Sutton was formally charged with misdemeanor battery. Sutton did enter a Petrol Division diversion program in April to resolve his case. That's according to Hillsborough County Record. Sutton did say yesterday that he couldn't address where things stood with his legal case, and he added that he's been in communication with the league regarding potential discipline if he's found to have violated the NFL's personal conduct policy. So, look, it's a good pickup for the Steelers. You know, if any franchise, if any culture can deal with something like this, it's Mike Tomlin and the Steelers because of the culture he's built over there in Pittsburgh. And, look, he's been there before. He was there. Obviously, he spent his first 6 years in Pittsburgh. He knows Mike Tomlin well. Mike Tomlin knows him well. And, look, this is a very low risk for the Steelers, high reward for them. Sutton is still a guy who can play good football at the cornerback position, and he could very much add to their team, especially, you know, we'll see if he has to miss any games. But, you know, if he does have to miss some games, still, it's a low risk, high reward for the Steelers at the end of the day. All right, those are a couple of quick NFL headlines for you. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we'll wrap things up and hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios with you here on a Thursday morning. Got tied up there. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my Early morning, late night hospital workers out there protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. That was actually for the first responders. The hospital workers out there working around the clock to make sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all the dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice and clean and shiny. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment early this morning for all the early risers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work, or maybe even some kiddos getting from home to school that aren't out yet, even though I think they're all out by now. But anywho, shout out to all my front and rear loading truck drivers up early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, some NFL headlines here for you. The first one I want to get to, Colts longtime center Ryan Kelly talking about an 18-game schedule. He is not in favor of it, and he would not be very happy about it as well. And he's saying that don't be surprised if you hear some pushback. Here is Ryan Kelly on an 18-game NFL season.
If people understood how hard it was to play 16, then they took another one, right? And it's like, they get rid of preseason games. Well, okay, well, who's that going to hurt, right? The guys that don't have a shot, the guys that are the undrafted guys or late-round guys that need to go out there and improve themselves, right? It's not. And I think that the fans see it as like they don't watch the preseason games. Well, they have no idea what goes on inside the building, right? So, 18 games sounds great when Roger's saying it on Pat McAfee podcast, but until – you know, you're the one going out there and putting the helmet on for 18 of those games. Then come talk to me.
Ooh, a little spice there from Ryan Kelly. Okay. Well, look, I definitely hear Ryan Kelly. I don't even necessarily disagree with Ryan Kelly. But what I will say is that good luck. Good luck stopping it. Because at the end of the day, just like the 17-game schedule got approved. It barely got approved, but it got approved at the end of the day. It was like 51.5% to 49%. The NFL is not going to let anybody, even the players, stop them from making more money, it seems like. I just don't see how this doesn't happen. If the NFL owners, Roger Goodell, and everybody really want this to happen, they're going to be able to make it happen. That just seems like the harsh reality of it. Now, to Ryan's point, he's absolutely right. He didn't say anything. No lies were told. No lies were detected in what Ryan Kelly just had to say there. Taking away another preseason game definitely does hurt the late-round draft picks, the undrafted free agents that are trying to make a name for themselves and make a team. And look, guys have done that. Guys have balled out in the preseason, made the team, made a little niche for themselves, balled out on special teams, then found a way to become really good NFL players. Those stories are real. And it's because of the opportunities they got in the preseason. But if they are limited in those opportunities, then that could take away from us finding some really big stars in the NFL. And now look, at the end of the day, if they're meant to make it, they'll make it, but still. And to Ryan Kelly's other point, if you knew how hard it is to play 16 games, you wouldn't make us play 18. But at the end of the day, Roger Goodell isn't playing the games. He's worried about making the NFL more money while he's the commissioner. So, again, that's just kind of the harsh reality of the situation. But I feel for Ryan Kelly there, and you can tell he is very much upset because he can – see, and he knows the reason for this is really just, at the end of the day, more money. All right, moving on here. One other NFL headline to get here for you. Cameron Sutton signing a one-year deal to return to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed a one-year deal with the Steelers. The team announced that yesterday. Sutton's deal expected to be the vet minimum. That is what league sources told ESPN. Sutton is 29. He spent the first 6 years of his career in Pittsburgh, and he was released, if you remember, by the Detroit Lions earlier this offseason after an issuance of an arrest warrant for a domestic battery charge. And that warrant was issued March 7th after police in Florida responded to a call at a house where Sutton allegedly battered a woman before fleeing the scene. He was released by the Lions on March 21st, a day after the team learned of the warrant. And although the initial warrant charged him with a felony, Sutton was formally charged with misdemeanor battery. Sutton did enter a Petrol Diversion Program in April to resolve his case. That's according to Hillsborough County Records. Sutton did say yesterday that he couldn't address where things stood with his legal case, and he added that he's been in communication with the league regarding potential discipline if he's found to have violated the NFL's personal conduct policy. So, look, it's a good pickup for the Steelers. You know, if any franchise, if any culture can deal with something like this, it's Mike Tomlin and the Steelers because of the culture he's built over there in Pittsburgh. And look, he's been there before. He was there. Obviously, he spent his first 6 years in Pittsburgh. He knows Mike Tomlin well. Mike Tomlin knows him well. And look, this is a very low risk for the Steelers, high reward for them. Sutton is still a guy who can play good football at the cornerback position, and he could very much add to their team, especially, you know, we'll see if he has to miss any games, but, you know, if he does have to miss some games, still, it's a low-risk, high-reward for the Steelers at the end of the day. All right, those are a couple of quick NFL headlines for you. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we'll wrap things up and hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.